This is Keith Wood, and you're listening to A Professional Day in the Life. On the show, we have Ryan Rebin today. He is a real estate agent with Keller Williams. Ryan, you want to say hey and introduce yourself?
Hello, hello. I'm Ryan Rebin from Keller Williams.
All right, so, Ryan, I know that you haven't always been involved in real estate. You've been doing it, what, like 2 years-ish?
Right? This is actually my third year.
Third year, okay.
Going on
didn't
four.
Come out of the gate strong, that's all right. I'm joking.
The research team did some good work there.
Right. All right, so why real estate, though? You know, it's not an easy industry, I don't think, is it? And, you know, tell us why real estate and, you know.
Well, I definitely consider it an easy industry to get into. Yeah. Industry to be successful at is very difficult. The amount of preparation and time management and just willing to go out there and do it. You have to work a lot of weekends, you got to work nights, you got to pretty much be at your client's beck and call to really do well at it. So really a lot of people, I mean, you're talking about a lot of people get licensed. Yeah. You know, the licensing itself, you know, takes probably about 2 weeks to get, you know, really done, or you can do it on the weekends, take your time on it, and you get your license and you think, I'm going to light the world on fire, but it's really not that easy. You got to really market, you got to really put yourself out there, and you have to really be in tune with clients and be willing to do open houses and things of that nature. But yeah, very easy to get into. I mean, you're talking about a lot of people get their real estate license and they really think they're going to do a lot with it, or they just want to do it casually. So
yeah, that's what I was going to kind of transition into. What percentage of people do you think are full-fledged agents that you work with, and what percentage are just somebody that does it on the side a little bit? They sell a couple houses here and there.
Well, I'm on the easy sales team. We're the number one team in the state of Ohio. We've done over $100 million in sales just this year alone, and we did over $100 million last year, and we just keep increasing and growing. So a lot of the agents on our team, if you're going to join this team and if you're going to get approved to join this team, you're going to have to pretty much be a full-time realtor, or at least a high-end part-time realtor, or, you know, bring some sort of value to the team.
Yeah.
So I'd say, you know, probably right out the gate, the people that, I don't know the actual statistics, I'm known for making up statistics on the fly, but I'd say probably...
Well, you're one of the smarter people I know, so probably
yeah.
Somewhat accurate statistics,
yeah,
right?
I'd say probably out of the people that get their real estate license, probably about 20 to 25% of them at least have a semblance of success after they take school and everything.
So it's pretty tough.
I'd say it's tough. It's just... You know, it's just a matter of applying yourself, just like anything else you do, especially on a commission-based job where nobody's pushing you to do this, that, or the other. If you really want to make it, you got to really put the effort in.
Okay. So, you know, being that, you know, real estate agent, I think you have done some other work, and you're saying it's tough, and I believe it is tough. But what does your day look like from start to finish? Let's start, what time do you get up?
Well, that varies on the day. I got two young boys, so
yeah.
They kind of dictate when I'm going to wake up. My wife's a school teacher, so she usually wakes up pretty early. I try to sleep right through that.
Yeah.
A lot of times she'll passively, aggressively just turn on the lights in the morning just because I'm still sleeping and she's awake. So
when she does that, what do you do?
I usually just act like I'm sleeping through it, or most of the time I just do sleep through it.
Put the pillow over your head or anything?
No. I don't go that route.
No?
I just act like it's not even bothering me.
Oh.
So
inside it's killing you though, right?
I mean, sometimes, yeah. I mean, I know I need to wake up early. Yeah. You know, it's usually like I try to get up by about 7.
Okay.
The boys usually wake up probably about 7:30, 8 o'clock. So that's usually the ultimate wake-up call. But yeah, usually around 7 is when I try to wake up, get some food ready for the boys, and then kind of get my day going that way.
Like eggs and bacon? Or?
Always eggs. Maybe make some waffles on the Belgian waffle maker.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, maybe throw some chocolate chip cookies in there too.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm a 5-star.
A little treat for the start of the day.
Yeah, sometimes. But right. Yeah, sausage too. Always got to go with those Link.
Bob Evans?
Link sausage.
Yeah, those are.
Yeah,
Johnson. Those are really good. You know, in fact, I don't mean to interrupt you.
I'm a Johnsonville guy, but go ahead.
Johnsonville, all right. I got Bob Evans the other week. Actually, I got Giant Eagle the other weekend ago.
Poor.
And they were so good, right? I was considering not buying bacon anymore and just buying breakfast sausage. And then when I ate like 15 of them,
yeah,
I felt so horrible afterwards.
Yeah.
It stuck with me all week. And this past weekend when I went to go get breakfast stuff, I walked by it and I kind of sneered over at it. And and thought about how tempting it was, but how awful I felt all week.
Yeah,
it's kind of like drinking a few beers and getting a hangover.
Yeah, there's a clear-cut number with, like, everything.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just like, I know I can eat 5 slices of pizza.
Yeah.
And once I get into 6, that's when it's a danger zone.
There's no reason to do it,
and your brain just tells you, I'm still hungry, because, you know, right. I think sausage is about...
It took me 10 minutes to eat 4 pieces of pizza.
Yeah, sausage about, like, 10 and a half.
Hmm.
But, you know, like, donuts, maybe you could do, like, 7.
It's a lot of donuts.
Aggressive amount of donuts.
Working on diabetes diagnosis.
Yeah, I'm getting there. One day at a time.
You got to have goals.
Yeah.
So what do? All right, you got the boys breakfast. What happens after that?
So after breakfast, I'll usually, wherever they're going that day, whether it be a grandparent's or a daycare or anything like that. One's too young for that. So I'll get them off on their way. Usually, actually, that time, I forgot to mention that, between the 7 a.m. and 7:30, I try to catch up on any emails that I missed in the prior day or any texts that I missed in the prior day. Usually texts I get back right away, but sometimes with the emails, you just see them and let them go. Some things aren't as urgent, you know, and then you try to get caught up on that in that half hour. And then usually on the way in, I'll start, I use Zillow. Sometimes I'll get a lead from Zillow or something like that, and I'll just follow up with them or follow up some former clients or just try to use that time in driving just to follow up on phone calls and everything like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, depends on the day. Sometimes I go to the office. Sometimes I'm showing houses. So really, I mean, every day is going to be much, much different than the day previous in real estate. So
I remember years back, I used to do a little gambling. And I thought that was like a job almost.
It was, yeah, at the time, yeah. Yeah. I always had like a hybrid of doing things and just always the path of least resistance with me. You know, just trying to always not necessarily take the easy way out, but the way I can kind of outthink things and stuff like that and try to beat the system.
Yeah.
That's always been my MO in life. So, yeah, I mean, with gambling, I mean, it was bet on the sports and that was probably the most stressful thing I've ever done because I was putting in 30, 40 hours just like everybody else was.
I remember.
I'd log my time. I'd look at everything. I'd look at all the angles. The problem with with that kind of stuff is, let's say you won $10,000 for a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Then the next weekend you lose $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you made $4,000 over 2 weeks, which is pretty good.
Right.
But that the emotional mindset after losing $6,000 or something like that, that is just not a great feeling.
No.
It's hard to go to sleep. It's hard to do anything.
You just gamble more then.
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of that goes on too, and that's probably why I'm out of the business now. But no, it's just the mindset, and you're really getting angry with people, and there's too much of a high and low in it.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. I really respect the people that do it, full time. With poker, when I was playing poker, I could handle the swings because they weren't big-time swings. But, yeah, that was pretty much all that.
Okay. So.
But I do love me some FanDuel and DraftKings. Everybody knows that.
You won some money there recently, didn't you?
Yeah, FanDuel. I had a
nice little hit there?
Yeah, I had a nice little run with NBA basketball last year.
Huh.
That's a lot of fun.
There's a lot of games getting played all at once.
Yeah, I remember a friend of mine, Scott, he told me I was...
The smart Scott you're talking about?
No, it's a different Scott.
Dumb Scott.
No. Scott's a bright guy.
No Dumbski?
No. He's telling me...
just wanted to say Dumbski.
I remember there was an NBA game on, and he's telling me, Don't watch the game. Don't watch any of the games. I'm just going to tell you what's going on.
Yeah.
And he's telling me, he goes, don't look at it. He goes, but you're doing really, really well. And I knew, because I was watching one of the games, and he's like, just don't look at the scores. And I didn't want to look at the scores, and then he tells me, it's probably like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, games are starting to wrap up. He's like, you could look now. I'm in first place in a lot of these tournaments by a wide margin.
Mm-hmm.
And, I never experienced anything like that. And he says, I go outside, I'm making some phone calls and stuff like that, and he says, as long as X player doesn't have a huge fourth quarter, you're going to win it all. Of course, that guy had a huge fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So I didn't win a ton that night, but I won a pretty good amount. And then two nights later, I was about to go to Olive Garden, and I was just like, yeah, I'll play again, you know. Set my lineups, and I got first place pretty much across the board that night.
Did
where
you?
I was, yeah. So, I, you know, that was a pretty good score
for me. Did you watch the games at Olive Garden?
No, what happened was is I went home, and I fell asleep. And I remember, like, I just waking up in the middle of the night, and I was like, oh, shoot, I forgot about the games, you know. And so I look at I'm looking at my thing, and I'm like, man, I got a shot at this.
Yeah.
So then I I was like, all right. So I didn't want to – I'm so cheap. I'm a tightwad, you know, all the way.
Yeah.
Instead of spending the $230 or whatever it was for the league pass to watch all the NBA games, I would buy the games for $5 so I could just watch the end. I paid $5 to watch 2 minutes of a game just to see the last 2 minutes to see if this guy would score a bucket or something. Like
that. Sure, you paid $5 for 2 minutes before. And
but I remember I was so nervous that second night, especially because it wasn't new to me. It was like, wow, this could really happen. And
yeah,
I drank two bottles of wine probably in about a half hour time frame.
It's interesting wine.
Yeah, I'm
like. Is this all you had in the house?
No, I just like to drink wine, you know?
Yeah?
Yeah, just like a nice red wine, you know?
Well, here's my question with that then. Did you pour it in a glass?
Yeah, I got like a little.
Right.
Not even like a
juice glass? Like one of your kids' little juice cups you're drinking?
This was. They didn't even have the juice cups then. I had like, you know, like usually you have the stem on them.
You mean like a soda glass?
No, like, you know, like a wine glass has a stem.
Yeah.
It's the ones without the stem, and I love drinking out of those now.
Those are classy.
It's just sort of.
Palm warming up a little bit.
Yeah, you watch it. You watch the legs go down.
Yeah.
And I always say she's got legs.
Yeah.
And then nobody laughs.
Yeah.
That's usually.
Who do you say that to, your wife?
Actually, at this point, I just say it to myself because I'm usually drinking wine by myself.
you just lean back in your chair a little bit.
Yeah.
She's got legs.
Yeah, this is like everybody knows me as Red Wine Redman now.
Yeah. All right, that's a cool nickname.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't know that was your nickname.
Yeah, Cabernet. All
right.
Cabernet all day.
All right.
A nice cab from Chile.
Yeah, they do come from Chile, don't they?
Some do, yeah.
Some do.
The ones I prefer.
Malbecs, yeah. So
that's a little different. All right.
You start your day at 7 or 8, mm-hmm. right? Depending on what time you get up. What time your wife turns on the lights?
Yep.
Do you floss? Are you the kind of guy that flosses? Or
yeah, I mean, I try to.
Do you floss before you brush or after you brush?
I would say it's definitely an after.
They don't really tell you when to do it.
No, I think it's like a catch-all. They just want you to do it.
Yeah.
There's not like a...
Well, think about this, though. You go to brush your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
You finish up with your teeth on the brushing.
Mm-hmm.
You get out the floss. And then you pick all this old, nasty stuff out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that warrant another brushing?
I guess in theory, yes, it does.
Just saying, it makes sense to me.
So just do it before it is what your system is.
I don't floss. I don't even brush my teeth that often.
Yeah, that's a system.
Ryan, you seem like a funny guy, right? You know, we walk in the office today, and one of the guys in the office introduced Ryan, you know, and because he works out at the gym too, and I said, Ryan's been up at the gym before. He said, oh yeah, what time you work out? And he says, never. You know, it's kind of a funny comment for somebody you don't know, right? Who's your favorite comedian? All time.
All time?
All time favorite comedian.
It's really love. I grew up loving Chappelle. Like the old stand-up.
You're Chappelle dating stand-up. Yourself now.
Yeah. George Carlin.
George Carlin. I was Carlin's listening greatest. To George Carlin this weekend. He's
yeah,
very funny.
He
He's
is.
Smart. That's a smart dude.
Yeah, very
We're
smart.
We're talking about
guy,
the smartest
yeah.
guy we know.
Yeah.
You know, I think that if I knew George Carlin, he would be the smartest guy that I know. But
absolutely.
I don't know him, so he's not on my
that
list.
That guy was brilliant. I mean, as far as his way of thinking of things and then putting it together.
I think he did a lot. I think he worked on it a lot, probably.
Yeah, he did.
You
know,
could tell that he worked on it.
Yeah, he was definitely more of a more prepared comedian.
Yeah.
Whereas you look at a guy like Chappelle, who was just able to think so quickly on his toes.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of these comics now, you got to think quickly on your toes, because you got a lot of, I mean, a lot of people like to interrupt. Everybody thinks they're a star nowadays.
Yeah.
So you watch these guys, and they got to think on their toes a lot. Either your material has to be super, super strong, where nobody's going to say anything during it because they're just dying the whole time.
Yeah.
Or you got to be able to think on your toes, and you're not going to be on every
night.
You
got to be a performer, too.
Yeah. And, you know, a big part of the show, too, is you got to talk to the people in the crowd. But, yeah, Chappelle and Carlin were probably my two favorites. Love Bernie Mac. Yeah. Really now, I love Mitch Hedberg, too. Mitch Hedberg's probably, I mean, just that brilliant style of just like that, just observation humor to the extreme. It's almost like a Seinfeld, but a stoner Seinfeld.
Okay.
And then probably right now, though, I really enjoy, and he's like a darker comedian, but Anthony Jeselnik.
He's, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, look it up on...
YouTube?
He's on, I think he's got a special on Netflix.
Does he? All right, I'll check it.
Super dark, but it's very funny.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So if you go Louis C.K., I picked these two because they're kind of like fatter white guys, so I feel like I can compare.
Yeah, so you got someone you can relate to.
Sure. Jim Gaffigan on one end, Louis C.K. on the other end. Who do you pick as the funnier comedian and why?
I think that Louis C.K. definitely.
Yeah?
I like Gaffigan. Gaffigan will give you that. Some of his jokes are just absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Whereas Louis C.K. is just... He has just an unending supply of jokes available. You know, he watches...
He's a funny person.
Yeah.
In addition to being a comedian.
Yeah. And I'm sure Jim Gaffigan's a funny guy at home, too, but...
You think so?
Yeah, he has like 20 kids.
Does he do that stupid voice when he walks around?
I highly doubt it. Yeah. But, yeah, Louis C.K.
only option.
Louis C.K. is just one of those people, transcendent, almost, you know, where he's just so brilliantly funny that he's just able to be funny all the time. He does specials like everybody else, 60-minute specials. He does more than most people do. And on top of that, he's doing a TV show where he's doing stand-up on the show. And even the stand-up on the show is brilliantly funny.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, man, if that wasn't anybody else's act, they'd be killing.
Yeah.
And that's his throwaway stuff because he's just using it as a throwaway on the show.
Right.
It, you know, he's just a perfect comedian. Almost.
I agree. So
Gaffigan's good though too.
No, we spanned a lot in this conversation, and I don't want to make a bad transition. I got a few bullet points here, but I don't want to.
This show should be called Bad Transitions.
You ever see the show Lowered Expectations?
Yeah, from Matt TV.
Exactly, yeah, right. Yeah. I recently lost $5 to somebody because we were talking about Lowered Expectations, and he said from SNL, and I said no, from Matt TV.
How'd you lose $5 then?
All right.
I can't wait to hear how you lost the $5 in this.
I got a soft heart. So, I got a soft heart. So, I say, all right, I'm going to Google it right now. And I go to Google it, and, you know, when you type something in, it'll give you options that finish your sentence?
Yeah.
So, I typed in Lowered Expectations, and then the only one that popped up beneath it, you know, immediately pops up, it says SNL at the end of it. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I think I lost.
You didn't feel any research?
No, I didn't research.
Your research went to, like, immediately...
I was just ready to just...
The autofill?
I said, and, you know, I was kind of... Sometimes I like to lose and, like, let other people win because it makes me feel better about being, like, a good person.
Yeah.
Almost like if you're playing your kid in the game, like, you let them win.
No, not me, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
hyper-competitor.
Yeah, I don't get that competitive. But, so, you know, I kind of felt good about losing. I was like, you know, this isn't nice. This is like charity, right? So I give them the $5, and I... So that was in my phone still. Lower expectations. Close out the phone. I don't access the phone on the internet for maybe like 3-4 hours. Maybe at lunchtime, I think I pulled it up, you know, just sitting there. And I'm like, Lowered Expectations. And I hit the space button. And then Mad TV comes up and all these other things pop up. And I hit enter and it's all Mad TV, all Mad TV. So that's how...
Yeah, that Lowered Expectations.
Right.
And they show it on the beach and stuff like that.
Yeah, a couple of fat people on the beach.
Yeah, they'd always... Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
And they never have clothes that like fit them the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one... I actually clicked on one and it wasn't funny at all.
No, it
used to be really funny though.
Yeah, that's the thing is like when you talk about like Saturday Night Live and Mad TV and all that stuff, like... Yeah, I think it was on Saturday Night Live, everybody will say, especially right now because it's a hot topic right now, but everybody will say, oh, Saturday Night Live, why did they just put the show away? It used to be so funny. Because the thing is that, and there's brilliant people on Saturday Night Live all the time. There's never been a point in time where stars haven't come out of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah, so, lately. they've tried to make them stars.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, you still have like Kristen Wiig and Tina Fey and Jimmy Fallon.
Man, well, Jimmy Fallon.
This is within the last 10 years, but you still have to give people time to develop. You know.
Yeah.
Them being a star, but the thing is about like Saturday Night Live and all the shows, people just remember their all-time favorite skits, right. So they group them all together.
Yeah,
the show has always been probably 2 good skits and 7 really bad ones.
I agree.
So I mean, it's just
I was watching a Roseanne one the other day in SNL.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it was unfunny. Funny. No, she's not
funny at all.
I mean, she did that like real loud. It was just
to be
like
honest with you, I didn't even like Roseanne if it wasn't for John Goodman.
It was like the epitome of the early 90s, like, of just being like a real loud, obnoxious person, you know? And it's just like, that got you over. Like, she was like a female Dice Clay or something like that.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, okay, this is something different.
Yeah.
And then she somehow got a show out of it. But she's never been really that funny.
Well, we don't see her around anymore.
No.
So, Ryan, you know, looking at Roseanne's career.
Mm-hmm.
Not around, right?
No.
Where do you see yourself in 10, 15 years? You're going to be gambling? You're going to be mega real estate multi-billionaire?
You know...
Flying an airplane? You driving a truck?
I doubt any of those things will be happening anytime soon. No. I'd be like Denzel in Flight.
Nobody still can, you know, land that plane like he did.
No, that was the only guy who could do it that way.
Lots of sober guys in better environments.
That was a good, dumb film.
It was good, though. Yeah. It started to lose me like 3/4 of the way through. Yeah, and then you know what I didn't like? And I'm a huge John Goodman fan. I didn't care for him in that movie. I felt like the character was forced the entire time. It was just too cool for its own good.
Yeah, he seems to be getting a lot of those roles recently, you know, where it's just...
That's because that's how he is. You hear about Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Just like down talking himself, just a slob, all this kind of stuff. So I could see him taking.
He looked like Jabba the Hutt and the Gambler with Wahlberg.
He was big in that movie. He was big. But go ahead. So 10 to 15 years.
10 to 15 years. I mean, for me, my life, my personal life philosophy is just.
Yeah.
I don't need a lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't need. I just want to be happy.
Yeah.
So. Within that, I'd love to still be doing real estate in 10 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also working on getting... I never went to school back in the day.
High school?
College.
Okay.
So like a Billy Madison situation. Yeah. So, yeah.
McDonald's will take you.
Yeah. So I'm pretty close to being done with college. Like everything. I don't really have a...
Oh, you're going to college?
Yeah. I don't really have a... I'll just finish it up just so I could make a reference to my boys. But
that's good.
You know, I think about that time here in the future, and it's just...
Yeah.
I want to, over these next few years, work as hard as I can and make sure I'm not working during that time because I'm thinking about it. Boys will be, you know, 15 and 17, I think, at that point. Say 15 years from now, or even 10 years from now, 11. That's the time in life that I want the most, you know. And that's just me giving myself to them.
Yeah.
And I don't look at it like, oh, well, I'll be retired when I'm... That's the time probably when I'd want to work.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't care about my own personal... You know, so I want that time in between there when they're between the ages of right now until, you know, 15, 20.
Right.
Before they're getting tired of me.
Yeah.
I want that time to be as much of me as I can give them. So, I mean, if I definitely want to still be doing real estate, I'll definitely still be playing poker. And that's just like a little side thing. I'll definitely still... Whatever the...
Just making sure we're still recording.
Oh, we're recording.
How funny would it be if we sat there and I looked at it and there was nothing recorded?
Honestly, I would have relished this time as a great conversation.
It was getting real serious there for a minute, and I was like, I hope we're catching this on film. All right, go ahead, sorry.
So, yeah. So, I just want to make sure that I'm going to be there for them, you know, and really do everything I can to, you know, be involved with whatever they're doing and helping them get over to get the life that they want to live.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really going to be the biggest thing for me is just making sure that they're not just comfortable. I mean, you know, financially, that's, you know, sometimes there's going to be some times where you got to go do something, especially in real estate, and especially, you know, if I got to go play a poker tournament or I have to focus in on something for a couple of days or something along those lines, or even work at the bowling center or anything like that. there's going to be times where I got to go do that.
Yeah.
But the time I want is the time I want, you know, and is making extra, you know, 10, 15 grand or even an extra 30, 40 grand. Is that worth it at the end? Maybe probably not.
Yeah.
You know, I want, you know, making sure that they're going to be set as far as being able to go through school and all that and everything else, just it doesn't, and make sure they're comfortable and have a roof over their head and food in their mouth every day. But you really realize that these other things, they just don't even matter.
Yeah.
And right. And this is what I, you know, this is what I need for the boys.
You're like a wise old man.
I am like an old man.
You're like Benjamin Button.
I drive
down the downside.
Yeah, I drive a Buick.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. Yeah. We talked about the Lucerne.
Yeah.
I still might get one day. Knock on wood. We'll see. So, 10 to 15 years, you see yourself really ramping up things career-wise.
I think
15
so.
To 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
once
I mean,
the kids get out of school.
Once the kids are a little bit older.
Then you can kind of grow up with them.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I'll start. That's when I'll start my career.
Yeah. I always thought to myself, I was like, you know, I think I'd like to go back to school when my kids go back.
Yeah, like, what was that, Rodney Dangerfield and Back to School.
All right, I haven't seen that.
Oh, man, that's a classic.
I wouldn't mind going back to school in about, 15,
yeah, I mean,
17 years.
You always want to be educated.
Not 20, because you got to split it 17 years.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fun, I'd teach these kids a thing or two, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing is, like, your kids are always going to know more than you.
Yeah. Every generation's smarter than the generation before.
And then and rightfully so, but you hear a lot of these people say,
college is so
damn expensive. I'm worried about the kids these days and all this and that, you know, like, I'm worried about the next generation. Yeah, and
breaking your hip, old man.
Yeah, I mean, like, you just
worry about you getting to the toilet on time.
You're going to learn so much more from your kids.
Yeah.
Then they'll learn from you.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? Or maybe equal amounts.
I agree with it.
No, you have to, like, I mean, you definitely have to, like, put your foot down on some things and make them as prepared as possible for some things.
Yeah,
but
they're going to clean up the Cheerios when they spill them, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. The basic stuff. Like, just, okay, you're a normal human being.
Yeah.
But, like, when it comes to, like, learning and education and philosophy and everything else, they're gonna know way more than you do.
Yeah.
Even though, and there's a lot of people that think they know everything, and I'm one of those people.
Yeah,
but I'm not gonna.
Well, you're the smartest guy you know.
That's what I like to think.
Well, I don't disagree with it, Ryan.
No.
I think you're right up at the upper echelon.
Yeah, I know a few
intelligence.
People.
You're like a kind of like an alien almost.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me this. Let's wrap this up a little bit. All the way wrap it up.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see where it goes. One way or another.
Tell us. And you kind of gave us a little bit of window into this already. But tell us, what is the Ryan Redman legacy? What's the Ryan Redman legacy? You didn't think that was coming, did you?
Yeah. The Ryan Redman legacy.
You want prepared for that one?
I guess so. I just want people to, I guess, remember me by way of my contribution to society.
Do you think people will look back and say, that was a funny guy?
I think, yeah, there'll be a few.
Is that part of your legacy?
A few people had their chortles at my expense. But I just like
to. A chortle? Is that like a portal?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Portal into laughter.
Porthole?
No,
you ever hear people say porthole?
I never heard porthole.
Swear to God, on my life, I've heard in the last year two people say porthole. And I saw there's no H in portal.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, that's strange.
Yeah.
Sorry, though, I interrupted
but
your
I like
legacy.
It. I'm going to start using it.
Yeah. It sounds sophisticated.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It sounds like the least sophisticated thing you could possibly say.
There's a porthole right over there.
Take that porthole.
Go online and look at the porthole. It's like something on a ship, like the porthole.
I'll back down. I want my. You got any more porthole material?
Not for today.
You done with your porthole?
I told you I'm going to do some stand up.
Yeah, I like
work
that.
Work in the porthole.
Yeah, you're funny.
It's not even true. Don't placate me.
I guess my legacy would be the boys. I want to be judged by how they are.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm sure they'll be the same way, and so forth and so on. And that's the end of the Redman name.
All right.
You know, there's no more Redmans in our family. because all the boys are. I was the only male Redman, so I got to keep the name, living. So yeah, I mean, like as long as they're, you know, do what they do and live life with passion and go after things and you know, I want them to go after things harder than I went after things. I want to teach them to be, you know.
Well, that's why you're gonna ramp things up.
They got to ramp it up, brother.
When they're getting into their real life,
yeah,
you're gonna be ramping up too. You guys will have a dynasty.
I hope so, yeah. And then, yeah, then they'll have their kids, and then after that, I'll die, and
nobody, you never know. Would you freeze your body and preserve yourself?
Absolutely.
You would you?
100%. All right. There'd be no doubt. Any way I can live another minute,
yeah,
I'm gonna take that.
See, that was kind of a funny. It's not that funny, though.
Yeah.
You know, freezing yourself, whatever. Who did that? Didn't that baseball player do it?
Walt Disney did it.
Walt Disney?
And then, yeah, Ted Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ted Williams did it,
Ted
too.
Ted Williams.
Yeah. He thought he was going to come out and still hit 400.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah, well.
He could have been on the Red Sox this year if they would have unfroze him.
Yeah, I mean, they probably would have won.
I guess my ultimate dream in life is that, like, somehow they figure out a way for me to get to live forever. Like, probably within
stepping the next... through the portal.
Yeah, I gotta take a porthole and just somehow living forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in our memories. That's how you do it.
If I could just be like 32 forever.
Yeah.
And like that would just be my dream.
Not 33?
No, 33 is a bad one.
You think so?
That's when Jesus died. Too soon?
Too soon. All right, Ryan, you got anything else?
No.
I think I'm getting all out of jokes. Oh, I did have this joke earlier. I mean, pretty wise guy. Pretty wise.
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Right.
Wisdom.
You seem like the guy that's kind of like sitting around whittling a piece of wood. Do you whittle?
No. I've always wanted to get into woodworking. It's always been one of my dreams.
Jesus, right?
Yeah.
He was a carpenter. Yeah, I don't want to stretch this out any longer. Ryan, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much,
Keith Wood. We'll have you on the show again. All right. Certainly.
Thanks.